This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live Network broadcast, brought to you by the Freeman Radio Station, a division of MidwestStreaming.com. We hope you'll enjoy our music and entertainment 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Drop us an email on BigfootLive@pacbell.net and give us some feedback and requests. We'll be glad to try to give you the music and the entertainment you'd like to listen to. Now back to our programming.
Hello there. Is this the right number to speak to Mr. Tom Biscardi?
This is Marco Bill. And yes, ma'am, you dialed the right number, and you're on Bigfoot Live. But Mr. Biscardi isn't on the air yet. Can I get your name and where you're from and what questions you'll ask him?
Yes, sonny. My name is Emma Hofstetter, and I'm from Paris, Texas. Tom was out here last week, and I have to ask him a question about Bigfoot that all of us ladies down here have been just dying to find out.
Well, Emma, what's the question about Bigfoot all you ladies are dying to know?
Well, sonny, can you ask Tom, is Bigfoot really big?
I want all the viewers in the world today to know that this creature is out there. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a primate, a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there, and we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. We received something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world, because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on by the work that we've done all these years.
Say it's not you. I'm the smallest, what you think I've seen? Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. What a party they gonna have? I'm in the St. John's Waltz. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to put your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, Marco Bill. Happy New Year to you and all our Bigfoot fans out there, here, there, and everywhere. We're back live tonight, and I want to take the time, Marco, to thank you. Thank Jabba Bob and TJ for subbing for the last couple and a half, 2.5 weeks, I guess it's been now. I've been taking care of business, as you know, and you put it so gracefully. We've got so much coming for the year of 2007. Just did a great show on Haunted Voices. The host out there is Todd Bates. What a gracious man. He's got a wonderful show, too. Any of the listeners out there, if you, after this one here, you can go back on the archives, and we talked about some great stuff. But as we always do, I can't forget the shout-out list, you guys, and we're going to get right into that because we got a long list of guests. We got some great, great people. We got Pat Holbrook on tonight, John Jones, Dr. Dan Sherman, David Holly, Daniel Perez, Irv Fletcher, and Jacob, and a bunch of other hosts. Nevertheless, I want to do a shout-out Oscar Beatty up there in Canada. Prayers worked. I'm glad you're on the mend. Keep it going, my friend. We'll continue to pray for you getting better. Pray for you to get better. Luke Lobo, Long Island, New York. Keep up the good work, Luke. Happy New Year to you. Rob Bazzuto, out there in Idaho. Hey, keep them those good emails coming in and all that researching that you're doing. Joan Scott, thank you so much for the kind words. Henry May down there in Mississippi. Henry, keep up that chin, buddy. You're doing a great job out there, and I don't know if they made you president of that organization. If they didn't, they should. Nina and Mike up there in San Carlos, California. Thanks for just joining us and chiming in with us. Gloria Ballantyne up in Canada. Gloria, keep them stories coming up and that research coming in, because it's for people like you that gets us out there, out into the brush, and who knows, this might be the year for Canada coming up with one of these creatures. Mary Ann Lawson, Creighton, down there in Kentucky. Thank you for all your work, Mary. This was the gal when we were in Kentucky. She opened up her home. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have her on the show next week, and we'll get into all of that. John Lassard up in Canada. Hey, John, thank you so much for all the work that you've done in the past and continued for 2007. Larry Anderson down there in Mount Vernon, or up there in Mount Vernon, Washington. Thanks for all the kind words, and keep up all those sightings coming in. Tyler, Logan, Craig, Caleb, all you guys down there in Oklahoma, keep out there researching, doing what you're doing, because it's working. Graeme Lilly, down there in Scotland, over there in Scotland, thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of our network. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. We got them coming in from Scotland, Australia, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom. The list goes on and on and on. Matthew Kemp, Seattle, Washington, or up there in Washington. I don't forget where it is, but you know where you're coming from, Matthew. Thank you for the kind words. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear this name over and over. Patrick Blue up in Seattle, Washington. Keep it up, my friend. God bless you. It's wonderful. And all to all my eyes, ears, noses around the country, God bless each and every one of you guys. Keep your ears closed on what's happening. Now, let's get to our main guest, our star for tonight, Pat Holbrook. Are you on the line?
Of course. How are you doing?
Hey, Pat, thanks so much for joining us tonight. I know that you've been hard to get a hold of, and everybody's been wanting to get you on their show and ask you all these questions and everything else. And
well, before I answer anything, I've got a friend in California I met in Columbus. He saw your video. He liked it a lot.
Oh, thanks so much.
He really did like it a lot and stuff.
Oh, that's great. And by the way, all of you people who've seen the video, or if you didn't see the video, there's a guest book on our site there, www.bigfootliveradioshow.com. Sign in. We answer all the emails, and if I don't, TJ will. If TJ don't, Jabba Bob will. You know, we rotate, make it all happen, and try to answer everybody's questions. But we'd like to know who you are and what you think of the show or the movie and what have you. So please do that. And thank you for the kind words, Pat. Let me just set this up a little bit for our listeners. Number one, Pat is the guy that had an arrangement with Mrs. Patterson, Roger Patterson, with the famous Patterson film, along with M.K. Davis, where he did the stabilizations and everything. And I guess you were going to do some kind of movie.
We did a movie.
There you go. I'm just setting it up now, and then you're gonna take the floor from there. But so that it doesn't get misconstrued, okay?
Okay.
I just want you to tell the listeners and all the Bigfooters out there from firsthand information, you, Mr. Pat Holbrook, okay? Tell it how it all started. Tell us, you know, when it started, what you did, and where you're at now in the mix.
Well, it started about a year ago, and I had seen some of the stuff that M.K. Davis had done. And we'd kicked around an idea of doing another project. We'd finished one. And somebody said to me, they said, you know what, this stuff would stand up in court. And I looked at him, and I said, what do you mean? He said, well, look at the footage and stuff. He said, if this could ever go to court, it would prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Roger Patterson never faked it. And I looked at it, and if anybody else has ever looked at it the right way, there's no possible way it was a man in a suit. one thing happened a little while later on. I ended up getting a hold of N.K. Davis, and he is a wonderful person, has worked with me and everything else, and I stand 100% behind anything that he has said about the film. I agree with him. Anyway, I ended up negotiating, went with through Mrs. Patterson, and also going through Eric DeHendon up in Canada, purchased strictly the movie and DVD rights. Ended up, MK started doing a lot more stuff on the footage and that. I ended up going down to his house, filmed some stuff back there for a background for the movie, and we were going to make up our mind that we were going to show it as if it would be a trial, or let the people truly look at it and let them make the judge. You've been traveling all over the country, and I know you've logged a lot of miles and run into a bunch of wonderful people and everything else. There's people that will never believe this. If they had a Bigfoot laying in front of them dead, they're never going to believe what it is or anything else. And yet, everybody still has the right. And I stand behind Jeff Meldrum up there. He has his beliefs of what it is, and he has that right. For those people to sit down there and jump on him and say he's this, that, or the other, that wasn't right. Everybody in this country has a right to sit down there and look at Bigfoot of whatever they want to look at or anything else. We just made up our mind that we would take the film itself and put that on trial. And that's basically what we did in the movie. We've analyzed it. MK has done all of the footage that he's done, he's talked about and everything else. We have actors in it. It's almost like a docudrama. But we put some other secret things in there that has really got some great twists to it. So when the movie comes out, you'll have to see it. But other than that, I can't understand what the big whoopla is over the whole deal. I mean, really?
Well, you know, you're preaching to the choir when you tell me that, because I've been there, done that, as you know.
Okay? Uh-huh.
There just happens to be a bunch of people out there who supposedly are, they think that they reign supreme over the Bigfoot world, and what they say goes, apparently. Well, you know, like I try to tell them all.
And members of the TVG.
Hello?
What I'm trying to tell you is that unless they've walked in my shoes, they can't tell my story or say what I've seen, okay, over the years. Just like the same thing with you, okay?
Well, you know, I've never said that I've been out in the field or anything else. My idea of roughing it is a Holiday Inn without room service. I mean, you guys are the ones that are out in the trench, you and Don Monroe and all these other people that go someplace. All I wanted to do is look at the footage, analyze it, and do a movie of what that is, and have a lot of people really look at it and know that Roger Patterson did not fake this. He probably did the greatest discovery of all time, and a lot of people sit down there and poo-pooed at this or anything else. Did it not start you thinking about it and going out after it?
1967 is what gave me a gumption to get out there and do it. And not only me, probably everybody else that's in this field. And it was because of people like Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin, okay? The thing about it is, hey, you said you're going to come out here and you're going to put it in film form and let the people decide.
Yeah.
And that's the best way of doing it. That's what we decided 10, 11 months ago now, and said, hey, we're out there, we invite the media, okay?
Yeah.
We've got people out there saying, oh, well, this guy Biscardi and his team, all they're out there is looking for big hype. That's a bunch of crap, okay? What I'm doing is by far leaps and bounds more than the average Joe, and those of you who know me know the truth, because we don't care where it is. We're going to travel to the point of encounter, and either we're going to substantiate it or we're going to debunk it. It's a real simple situation here, okay? Well, I don't play around.
I heard a story today and about laughed my backside off. You guys had a female reporter or something.
Yes.
Ended up going and looking through a viewfinder, seeing Bigfoot, and she left.
Well, yeah, she dropped the thermal imager. It's a thermal imager. I'll never forget that. That was in Minnesota. But it's not only happened there. It's happened here in California. It's happened in Florida, where the poor girl, it was 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, we're in the Everglades swamp. and she was hiding behind the door shaking because she was so afraid. People don't realize, Pat, that there's so much unexplored territory right here in the United States of America. I mean, you can't even, the GPS coordinates, it'll give you a latitude and longitude, but it's not going to say, hey, go to Main Street and make a right, go down to Broadway and make a left so many miles. It don't happen that way,
no.
Okay? But let's get down to the meat and potatoes of the situation.
Go ahead, buddy.
With you, okay? You know, with all that crap that was coming out on the cyberspace that you were out there writing checks to MK and to all these people and to Don Monroe, you know, and then so people email me and they says, hey, why don't you ask them, this man to tell the truth? And I says, you know what, we will. So here we done it. Why don't you just say and answer those people out there that want to know. How much money have you made off of this thus far?
We have made nothing off of it yet. Nobody has made any money off of it yet. We filmed our last scene Saturday. We've still got to go through editing, put the music to it. We wanted to be done in late November, December, and we ended up doing some other projects that came up we had to get done. We ended up moving some things around, and we finally got back on track and doing this. But nobody, I repeat, nobody has earned a dime yet.
Okay, here's the next question I've got here.
Sure.
Just emailed. Ask Mr. Holbrook, how much money did he pay to M.K. Davis?
Well, that's kind of a personal thing, but I can tell you he has received from my pocket not a dime.
And the next question is, ask Mr. Holbrook, how much money did he pay Mrs. Patterson?
Well, that's legally, I can't even do that. That's a contract that was drawn up, and I have my canceled checks and everything else. If he wants to call her and ask her, he's allowed to do that. We can't sit down there and, because they have sold rights to other companies and other things, so it's a contract. If they would like to know that, they are more than welcome to talk to Mrs. Patterson, but she has to go ahead and go through it. I can't legally do that.
Okay, so what you're saying is, did any money transpire between you and Mrs. Patterson?
Oh, yes, it's already been done and paid for and everything.
Oh, you paid it all?
Yes, it's
all
been paid. But it not only had to be paid to her, it had to be paid to Eric DeHinden. He is the other half of the owner of the DVD and theater rights, and that's what we have, the DVD and theater rights. We do not have the TV rights.
Okay. So the one misnomer here has been cleared up, actually two. M.K. Davis wasn't paid any money to answer that one question.
Nope. We have a contract with him, and again, if he wants to talk about the contract, then that's up to him. But we cannot sit down there and tell people what we've negotiated on because it just can't be done that way.
Okay. And respectfully done. And then the other part is Mrs. Patterson was paid all her money.
Yep.
And this guy, Eric Dinn, is that the son of Renee?
That's exactly right.
Okay. All right, so those of you out there who want to know, that's the son of Renee DeHinden, and it was done. When do you think the movie will be done, and in what market form are you going to distribute it?
Well, we're going to look at two different venues for it. We're going to start it out on a internet magazine called OneStepBeyondReality.com.
Well, wait a minute now. I want you to go into depth with that, but before that, when do you think it'll be done?
Oh, I'm sorry. We should have, everything should be done by the end of this month. Then we ship it off to the company that duplicates it, makes the glass master, and hopefully by the middle of February, it will go to market.
Okay, and your market being?
Well, we're going to start out in the internet, but we are already talking to a group in California, and that was some of the people that came up. We would like to have a studio buy the rights from us for very little bit of money and then go ahead and market it through the theaters and stuff. That would give us a lot of publicity and everything else. But one of the things that a lot of people who are in the movie business understand is because this isn't a full-blown movie, we don't have any big-time actors or anything else into it, all we've got is the truth and the honesty of what the Patterson film itself is. The truth and honesty of what M.K. Davis brought to it. We don't talk about the film in the movie. He does the explanation and everything else. We do have actors. We do talk about other things. We have other people that come on board. But we couldn't find an actor to do what he could do. When you see, we rented a 9 by 14 foot screen. And Patty stands there the same, actually, Patty's about a foot and a half taller than he is. It's really unique. But again, I'm trying
for the newcomers that are listening for the first time, Pat Holbrook, explain to them what you mean by Patty.
Patty is what the Bigfoot people have named, as they say, the creature. The creature, if you've seen the footage, is very much female. If you were going to make a suit, and in 1967, if they were that good, they really would be rich, why would you make it a female and then put the breasts on it that actually move? I lost a large bet long time ago. Somebody told me it was female, and I said, you're full of, yeah. MK stabilized it and proved that the breasts do move.
Wow.
And that's why they call it Patty.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So those of you out there listening in on cyberspace and for the first time, we're talking about this. First of all, this is Pat Holbrook. He's the movie maker who worked in conjunction with the stabilization of the work that M.K. Davis did and purchased the rights through Roger Patterson's widow, Patricia Patterson, and is going to be having this release coming out, which he thinks will be at maybe the midpoint of next month, do you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, get into the thing that you really perked my interest about that magazine and how you're going to use intertwine it with your movie.
Well, I started a program over a year ago called One Step Beyond Reality, and it was on an internet program, and it was, they were nice enough people and everything else, but we wanted to take it to a larger form. We now have 22 writers that have come on board that will write on everything paranormal. I'm hoping as we go into the Bigfoot end of it, you guys would actually help us out there to do Bigfoot. We just filmed one episode of the haunted house. That was what it kind of slowed us down on some of the other things because we had to get certain things in the row. The internet magazine uses the Bigfoot movie as basically a pilot for what it is going to do and go on. We've already tentatively signed an agreement for a TV series, but let me explain that. It starts out on low-powered stations because we're nobody. A lot of the big guys want to see what you do. We started out at 8 episodes, and then they talked about syndication. When the people came out from California, they say, do 3 episodes. If we like it, we'll syndicate it. All I'm going to try and do is keep my fingers crossed. But the internet magazine will grow and will get bigger. We've got some wonderful people on it. We're going to do a lot of interviews and everything else. And if you go to that at the end of this month, it will tell you the entire program of what we're doing, how we're doing it, and everything else. We just haven't really had the time, and I'll be very honest, a lot of the money, it takes an awful lot to build a site. You know that.
Yeah. I know it very well.
Yeah.
I know it very well.
So but basically, that's what we're going to end up doing in that end of it. One other question, and again, I don't want to jump into something that I truly do not know. I've been reading some of the interview that MK did with you and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people ask him about Chuck Knoll's work and everything else.
I think that's Rick Knoll, isn't it?
Rick Knoll, I'm sorry. I truly apologize. One of the only things that I do know, and again, I'm looking at it as a filmmaker or anything else, if I would take a part of your film and redo it, you still own that film. Is that not correct?
Of course.
Then how can other people say that they own, and maybe I misunderstood the gentleman or anything else, that they say that they own then and have the rights to do Patterson film? The only people I ever know that, and I know that MK has talked to Mrs. Patterson and everything else, and she's given him 100%, you know, whatever he needs, but how can other people sit down and want to use it, and then they say that it's their work. every bit of stabilization or any kind of major work that I've ever seen has always been MK's work. And I'm not saying other people haven't done some things. There's, and I think MK's talked to the people in another country, I won't say what country, that has done some stabilization and stuff too, but nothing like he's done. He's went ahead and did the work. A lot of people sit down and they go, well, he's this, that, or anything else. I'm sorry, he did it. It's just like you. I mean, everybody's going to sit down and go, well, you're doing this, you're doing that, but you're still doing it. You're out there, you meet these people, you talk to these people, and you're doing something. And that increases the idea of the knowledge and the awareness of what Bigfoot really is. If we sit down and we say that it's human, it's all right to look at it and say it's human. And I'll bet you when it's all said and done, it's going to be more human than it ever is an animal. But this thing, whatever it is very smart, and you know that because you guys have chased it.
Yeah, you bet, you bet. And they travel at a high rate of speed. I also want to say, going back to the deal with MK and Patricia, you see, Patricia and I met some 30-some-odd years ago. It was Patricia, Roger, myself, and a couple of my partners. And I've talked to her recently, and God bless her, she just sounds so wonderful. She's just moving, as a matter of fact, as we're talking right now tonight.
John?
And what I want to tell you is this, okay? I just want the people out there to know, MK's Davis role with you and Patricia, he just gave you the contact with Patricia and the phone number. You took it from there and negotiated, right?
Yes.
None of the negotiation had to do with MK.
He did absolutely no negotiations or anything else. She had a set price. The price then was made. MK had nothing to do with that. Has had very little bit to do of writing of the movie other than we took the footage and stuff that he has done. And that, other than that, I did all of the other. He has nothing to do with that. That was strictly between Mrs. Patterson and myself in that.
That's great. So we cleared the air. MK didn't get any money.
No.
You paid Mrs. Patterson all her monies and Eric Dehinden all their money.
Yep. It had to go to an equal amount, and the amount is up to them to talk about, but an equal amount was paid to each one of them.
Okay, and you don't owe any outstanding balance?
Nope.
Okay, fantastic.
Not on the DVD and theater rights. It's all done.
Well, fantastic. So we got it out in the air. Listen, I'm glad we've got a chock full of nuts of a show here tonight. Listen in. Just press your...
I intend to. It sounds great.
Yeah, press your 6 button. This way they'll mute you out, and if I call you back, just repress the 6 again, and we'll go on, okay? Thank you so much, Pat, for spending the last 20 minutes with us and taking the time out to be with all the people and answering those questions.
I appreciate you, and like I said, I'd like to do some business with you later on, and we'll go from there.
Hey, we're open to anything, okay? You got our numbers. God bless you. Happy New Year to you.
And Happy New Year to you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
John Jones, are you out there?
I sure am.
Hey, John, how are you, good buddy?
Doing great. How you doing, Tom?
Good. Ladies and gentlemen, this fellow here has probably got one of the keenest observations that you'll ever find. He contacted me a while back and says, Tom, I think the skeleton that you guys are showing on your website has a lot of comparisons with the Gigantopithecus. I says, you're kidding, John. So he sent over a bunch of photos and a bunch of other things. Take it from there, John.
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting. I saw it. I'm like going, wow. I mean, this is pretty obvious, especially, you know, looking at, you know, I guess basically going through college and going through a few anthropology classes and things like that. You look at it and you're like going, wow, this is basically what I've seen on other websites. And that's why I sent you all the college research that I had or I had found. And it's almost an exact match. If you look at the jawbone and the teeth structure, it's the same. It's exactly the same as the dig that you guys were on, where you found that whole skeleton. It's just amazing. It just puzzles me why it's not a bigger story in the media.
Well, let me tell you what's transpired. You know, that's also in our movie. Okay.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's on there. All right, and you hear me say in the movie when we unearth this thing, and you'll see TJ is there and he's bringing up the samples and Jabba Bob and just a host of people. Mike Sells, Sandy Sells, Hansel and Maria. I mean, they were all there. But nevertheless, what I'm trying to say is we had the jawbone and teeth sent out to get some forensics done, DNA. And the comeback, and you can go to searchingforbigfoot.com on our main web page and look at it, and you can see the genomes. And they show the test of a normal graft, and then the graft of the specimen that we sent them. And it's completely different. It says it's not human. It's not a bear. So what is it? So then I tell, oh, wait a minute, it gets better. So I tell Jabba Bob, I says, Jabba Bob, I says, contact the university where we got this information from, and let's get some hard copies, and we'll post it on the website. Well, lo and behold, we get a thing back that's saying the site does not exist. The specimen does not exist, and it is not recognized at all.
Doesn't it just blow your mind?
So, John, what's going on?
Well, you kind of wonder if there's some type of conspiracy or something that's, you know, I hate banning that word about because I think it's overused nowadays, but you really wonder sometimes if there is like a whole cabal of people that don't want certain things to be exposed. And to me, I mean, it's obvious there was a specimen,
yeah.
There was a jawbone, there was all these things, and so now, you know, they're like going, well, it doesn't exist. Like it magically disappeared into the ether, and you're like going, you look at a lot of things like that, and I think I sent you an email, I believe it was last week, I can't remember the scientist's name, I think her name is Shelley Williams. There's a group of apes in Africa, they've been trying to get DNA tests for probably the last 2-3 years, that stand above 6 feet tall and walk like humans. And, you know, there's video of it and everything, and it just blows your mind. And nothing hits the mainstream media. That's what kills me. I mean, especially, you know, you go to searchingforbigfoot.com, you go to the website, it's right there. You think that somebody out there would go, wow, this is a big story.
Same thing with the Hand of Unknown Origins that we have there. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It was given to Don Monroe by the Butte Police Department. Don Monroe took it for 2 years up and down the West Coast, universities, hospitals, people to try to examine it. Couldn't get anything done. I took it, and within 30 days, I went through 5 different DNA and forensic houses. Finally got one that we sent our money, and they gave me the verbal stating that it's not human, not a bear, not any higher primate, nothing on record. And then when we asked it to have it put in print, they said that the sample was not good enough. They couldn't get the DNA. But thank God, Don Monroe recorded the conversation with the technician and doctor that performed the test.
Yeah, and you wonder...
And
like,
we've got that on tape, believe
you wonder why they're backpedaling. You know, maybe they... You know,
I'll tell you why.
It's
controversial.
Yeah,
and they don't want to use, you know, they went 12 years to get that PhD, okay?
Well,
you think they want to put it on the line?
Well, you know, and I think that's true, too, is a lot of people out there. I think, you know, there's a certain stigma with any type of cryptozoology, whatever it is, and that's ridiculous. I mean, it's hilarious. It's like all science ended in 1935 or something.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know.
Not knowing that we just discovered the giant octopus there in the 30s, you know.
Yeah.
And but, you know, people, that's closed minds, okay?
It really
and
is.
And that has that stigma. Well, John, what else do you want to say before we have a great show tonight?
Oh, wow, you know what? It's been interesting listening, too. And I just think that, if more people got out there, there's a psychologist that's out there, and he basically puts forward this theory that... If you got more people involved from disparate fields towards a field that they're not used to find an answer, then the answer that they come up with might be a better answer or a more diversified answer. And I think, you know, more people would take their time and go searching on the web even.
I think you're right, John, and we're seeing that come to the front. We're getting the academic world involved. The scholastic people now are kind of seeing what we're doing and what we're bringing out, and they're kind of saying, wow. They're shaking their head and scratching their head and saying, there's something to this. And I have a feeling that you're going to see a lot more of that happening in 2007. God bless you. Thanks for coming along and bringing that observation to myself and the team. And anything else you find, bring it to us. Press the 6 button. Listen to the rest of the show, okay?
You got it. As always, thank you.
God bless you, my friend.
You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Dr. Dan Sherman. What a treat. This guy is a wizard. This man is the CEO and owner of Advanced Weapons Technology. Doctor, you on the line?
I certainly am, Tom.
Thank you so much for being here with us. It's an honor to have a man of you're so distinguished here. And I'm going to set you up exactly how I met you. And Dr. Dan Sherman, ladies and gentlemen, as you've seen on the Discovery Channel clip, and I've told so many people in the past, the firing cannon, I call it, okay, that shoots that net out. Here's the man that's perfected this. This gentleman, ladies and gentlemen, is the guy also that's going to perfect a shooting cannon for our expedition in Paris, Texas, on the 30th of March. Dr. Dan and Dr. Ron, who perfected the Bigfoot detector that I was telling about, and it's a thing called the ELF, the electronic low frequency. It's something that goes on frequencies especially for primates. That's when they interact with communications. Well, Dr. Ron has perfected that and the wireless camera that's going to be used out on the site. Well, Dr. Dan here, in conjunction with that, is going to have these giant nets that we'll be able to control from remotely out in the wild to hopefully contain this thing until we can get a team out of up to 3 to 5 miles away from the base camp. You want to touch on that, Doc?
Sure. What we're doing is we're projecting a 16-foot Kevlar net at 50 feet a second, and, you know, if anything passes by that area, we're going to be able to catch it for you. And, you know, with the equipment you've got out there, I mean, you're doing some serious work in this. It's, you know, the equivalent of what law enforcement and even special forces are just fielding right now.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, I got to tell you. And, you know, to have people with your expertise, Doc, and Dr. Ron Milioni, and now the academic world, how they're coming to the front, and they're all saying, my God, Biscardi, I think you're onto something. You and your boys, you know, this last year's work has finally paid off, that they're coming to the front and saying, hey, we want to be a part of it. And I'm so proud of that, because that's what we work so hard for, okay? And then with the guise of your technology, your genius, I mean, it's just incredible. The people at Discovery Channel, they just marveled at the technology of the Talon, of your net. I mean, it's just, it blows my mind. I know what that thing can do. Our listeners can go to our www.bigfootliveradioshow.com, scroll down, and you'll see the TV shows. There's two TV cameras. The one in the middle, go to the photo bucket and go to the 20th TV show there, and you'll see it in operation along with all the other gear that we roll with. And thanks to Dr. Dan Sherman, we were able to have such a fine technology. And I really want to take the time, Doc, to thank you, because if it wasn't for people like you, we wouldn't have this technology out there.
Well, you know, Tom, I travel the world, and I do a lot of traveling into remote areas, China, Africa, the Middle East, and, you know, the Bigfoot scenario is not unique to the United States. And these are people who don't have a vested interest in making money, and they're reporting them all over the place. So, you know, they've got to start taking you seriously.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Doc. It just, and I'll tell you what, I just can't wait to see the prototype that you have ready for us for March, working along with Dr. Ron. And I'm so confident. I did a show earlier tonight, and I was getting pumped up myself just talking about it, about you two geniuses, the way you guys have perfected this thing. And if it works half the way that you guys are describing, boy, are we out there. I mean, we're leaps and bounds ahead of everything that's out there.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing something captured in it. And I think you got a good shot at it. You've got the program well together, and I think the methodology you've got is actually going to work.
Oh, fantastic.
All those skeptics are going to be laughing out of the other side of their mouths.
Oh, and boy, would I love to see that. Doc, why don't you tell everybody your website where they can go to and where your stuff's available, where they can buy it.
Sure. www.lawenforcementmall.com. That's all one word, .com.
Say it again, just in case they miss it.
www.lawenforcementmall.com.
Fantastic, Doc. God bless. Happy New Year.
Same.
We're going to have you on again.
And happy hunting.
Thank you. You can push your sixth button and listen to the show if you'd like.
Thanks a lot.
God bless.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dr. Dan Sherman, Advanced Weapons Technology. Just incredible. Another genius, along with Dr. Ron Milioni. David Holly, you out there?
Hello?
David. Who's this? Who's on the Bigfoot telephone?
Daniel Perez.
Hey, Danny. Good morning. Well, actually, it's afternoon, isn't it? I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Perez. He's the editor and publisher of the Bigfoot Times. Probably a lot of you listeners out there get his magazine that comes out, his newsletter every month. He does a fantastic job on it. He gets down there to the bottoms and the meat and potato of all the stories, and he confirms it all and lets us all know what's going on. Dan, how long have you been in the Bigfoot business?
I got interested about 1973, about age 10, by The Legend of Boggy Creek, which is a movie that I actually saw it at the theater for the first time.
That's a Charles Pierce production where Smokey Crabtree and his family were in.
Exactly, and I actually eventually met Smokey Crabtree in the late 1990s in Ohio, which was really a high point in my career as a Bigfooter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a guy, isn't he?
Yes.
You talk about Smokey. I just was on the phone with him today,
yeah,
believe it or not.
I was quite impressed with his sincerity about all things that he told me when I met him in person.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't mess around.
No.
He tells it, you know, like it is, straight, narrow, and doesn't miss any punches. I'll guarantee you that. Dan, have you ever been out in the brush yourself, out in the field, researching?
Oh, absolutely. This past October, October 20th, in fact, of last year, I was on the Patterson-Gimlin film site once more. I've been there probably eight, nine times, just to review and survey the area. And this year, the film site, the
David Holly,
the famous movie that was shot October 20th of 67, some 39 years ago. It'll be 40 years this year. But the film site it's completely changed. It's completely non-recognizable. And from 2005 through 2006, they had tremendous rains, tremendous storms that literally just took some of the trees there and, like, turned them into toothpicks, and they were just washed all over the place.
You know, I can attest to that. I was there last year, maybe a year and a half ago. We were there. We met M.K. there. And
M.K. Davis.
M.K. Davis, yeah.
Right.
We met M.K. Davis there. He was there with a couple of his team from Mississippi and the gentleman up in that area, Weaverville, I forget his name. But nevertheless, I couldn't believe, because of all the water that they had received and all these trees that had just gushed down into that area, it just blew me away also. You're right.
Well, I was there in the summer of 2003 at the International Bigfoot Symposium. And part of that symposium in Willow Creek was to go down to the film site.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was there, of course, I took pictures, and it was barely recognizable in 2003. October 20th of 2004, I returned to the film site to look around again and to take and to record some more photos.
Tyler.
And then it looked just slightly different than what it looked in 2003. But when I returned last year in 2006, the heavy storms just completely rearranged that place to the point of non-recognizability, and it just took huge chunks of real estate out of there.
Wow, yeah. And I agree with that. I've seen what those storms did. By the way, what was the the most fantastic story that you wrote about throughout the years that you've had the Bigfoot Times?
Well, I must say there are a couple of people who really impressed me. One of them, believe it or not, is from Ohio by the name of Patrick Poling. And this happened in 1980 in Union County, Ohio, a place that you've investigated, too, in Ohio in general.
Mm-hmm.
But here was this guy that had this sighting. And my first time to Ohio was in 1996 via the motorhome I took out there. And I wanted to follow up on his story. And I got in touch with his neighbor, who knew him well. We phoned him, and he was very reluctant. I guess this is some 16 years later. He was very reluctant to talk about what had happened, his sighting, when he was farming, cultivating his fields or whatever. And so we eventually...
David Hawley.
He eventually caved in to be interviewed, and I was greatly, greatly impressed by his sighting that happened in 1980. Another sighting that was very impressive happened up on the Avenue of the Giants in the Redwoods in the state of California by a Caltrans employee, and I showed up at his door unexpectedly December of 1995, a few days after Christmas, and I told him, I said, that I understand you had a sighting, I'm here to investigate, and his jaw just completely dropped to the floor. He was so impressed that I wanted to take his report seriously that he actually got his Caltrans vehicle, and we went over the entire route of where this incident took place on the Avenue of the Giants, and he was reliving the whole thing to the having goosebumps on himself and the hair standing back up on his neck,
which happens so often in the reality.
I tell you, and this was a sighting. There were no tracks left behind, and here's a guy. I think he was nearly 40 years old at the time, and he told me, Daniel, I've lived in this area all my life. I always felt the legend of Bigfoot was just that—a legend, mythology. I come around a corner on the road, I see one of these things. And he said it just shattered his idea of what reality was. He
Indeed.
Saw one of these, and it just, he said, and I said, well, do you have any doubt these things exist? He says, none whatsoever.
Wow. What's in the future for the Bigfoot Times for 2007?
Just to continue to investigate and research and to document the sightings. To continue, you know, we do a lot of reviews of information. And by the way, we will be reviewing your excellent DVD that you produced, I believe, last year.
And thank you for those kind words, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. You can go to our guest book on www.bigfootliveradioshow.com. Along with Daniel Perez, there's been so many other noted people in the Bigfoot field who've said so many kind words. And as Daniel Perez puts it, I'm not impressed often.
Right.
I like that, by the way.
Exactly. I review so much information because I guess I'm relatively well-known when it comes to writing and putting out a newsletter.
And you do it very well, by the way. And I got to tell you what really impressed me, because we've got the next guest ready, is when you talked about the situation in Texas about the Thornberry people. That blew me away. Not many people knew about that.
No.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this man that you're talking to is a fountain of information. He's a walking encyclopedia when it comes to the Bigfoot field. That's what I'm going to put you. I'm going to give you a new nomenclature now, Daniel, because not many people knew what you knew.
Right, exactly. And I just happen to know all of this stuff because I've followed the subject for many, many years.
And as you saw it in the film, and you talked about it, we're talking about over 30 years ago. It was one of the hottest places in America, was it not?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's why, I'll tell you, when you said that, it gave me goose pimples.
And so when I saw your documentary, and the on-site footage of Texas, I believe it was Ohio, Minnesota, and I think it was Arizona.
Yes, good memory.
I was very impressed to see where these witnesses had their sightings. And again, all the skeptics who say that there's no place to hide in the United States, it's just a bunch of hogwash.
You bet.
you could clearly see there's many, many potential areas for a big unknown primate to hide.
Oh, that, listen, I'm with you all the way, Daniel. Listen, we got a ton more guests. Just put yourself, press the 6 button, listen to the rest of the show. I'm going to have just do a show on you all by yourself because of the fountain of knowledge that you possess. God bless you. Happy New Year. I look forward to your newsletter.
Okay, very good.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
David Holly, I hear you on the line.
Yeah, I'm here.
Good. I understand you got Deidre with you tonight.
I have Deidre, I have Perry, and I have Deidre's brother, Kevin Crombie, with me.
Well, you got a partial team there.
Man, I'm trying to make up for the last time when I was trying to have some of the team with me.
Uh-huh.
And it just worked out tonight.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, good buddy. We're going to need those people come March 30th.
They are.
I'm going to tell you right now, with the equipment that we got going, with the technology, this high-tech stuff, I have a feeling we may be in for a surprise. The world may be in for a surprise on that weekend of the 30th of March.
Yeah, I'm thinking that there's going to be some big surprises.
You bet. Well, you know, I got you labeled there today of telling all of my listeners out there, because, you know, I've been hiatus for a couple of weeks, and, you know, Tommy and Jabba Bob and Marco Bill, they've done such a wonderful job. God bless them. I know you had those cameras out there for a long time. Why don't you tell our listeners what you found?
Okay, let me give you a real quick rundown on everything. We pulled cameras December 6th from an area. We'd had them for 2 weeks. The cameras were set up on a crossroad of 3 major game trails. There is no game in these areas that even came close to setting them off. So we didn't get anything interesting on film. What we did find interesting was one stray hair that was literally on the camera, on one of the cameras. And we've got that in possession. John David took the cameras out a day later after we looked at it and set it up in another spot near Clay's Bluff. And I know you know where Clay's Bluff is.
You bet I do.
Okay. He just pulled them yesterday in a freezing rainstorm, and there was grass trampled, there was everything, but still nothing on the cameras. So we don't know what to think about that. We've talked to some people that know a little bit about photography and game cameras, and they say that it may be the delay itself in taking pictures, that something could have passed by and we didn't have it set to go off exactly then. But we're still working all that out. They're going out again Monday.
Well, I got to tell you something. The gentleman that was just on, that Daniel Perez.
Yeah.
You know, he's the editor and publisher of Bigfoot Times.
Right.
And he's been doing this since 87. It's been over 20 years, and I'm sure he's had a lot of interest prior to that. But the thing that blew my mind, he talked about the Thornberry brothers, you know?
Yeah.
About in the early 70s, about your area, okay, is the hottest area then. And why nobody ever really took it serious is beyond me. I mean, now we know what we got there. You know what you got there, okay?
Yeah.
Perry knows what's there. Deidre knows what's there. You know, we've been there. You know, we've surveyed the land. We know what's underneath. And, you know, come March of this year, we're going to prove it to the world. I really believe that. With these doctors, these geniuses that we've got on board now, to the front, who perfected, developed, and we're put in use, I'm afraid to think what we're going to come up with.
Well, let me give you a real quick rundown on what else happened back on the 6th.
Please.
You know, I've talked in the past about John had a series of tree knocks that lasted 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we took a guest with us that came from New York, Luke, who later joined us.
Oh, yeah, Luke Lobo.
Yeah.
From Long Island.
Luke joined the TVG that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But we took him out with us to get the cameras, and I started some tree knocks. I experienced something that in 30-something years I've never experienced before, and I couldn't duplicate it. It was a double knock.
Wow.
It was so fast and so hard that I could not keep up with it. And when I tried, then it stopped.
How long did it go for?
A few minutes later, I did another Tree Knot in another location and got one or two little responses, but they were about a, you know, probably about a mile and a half away. But that weekend, we also found, we cast in standing water, so they didn't turn out real good, but we did.
That's very huge.
We cast a set of infant tracks.
Just like my team did when they were out there?
Right.
How big?
We cast a left foot and a right foot on an area we call the tank trail.
Mm-hmm.
They measured 6.5 inches long by 3 inches wide at the ball by 2 inches wide at the heel.
Wow. Well, you know, that ours were a little bit different. I think ours was 7.5 by 3, and you can see them on our website, searching for Bigfoot.com.
Right.
That's incredible. That's just incredible. Well, as always, David, you and your team, thanks so much for your help and everything. I'll have you back on next week to give you some further, give our listeners some further information what's going on. I still got a few more guests, and I've only got 7 minutes to do this. And God bless you. Happy New Year. Push your 6 button. Listen to the rest of the show. Herb Fletcher, Jacob Mizalski, we got you? Herb, you out there?
Jacob's on.
Hey, Jacob, how are you?
Good.
Jacob, you're from Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is your uncle on also, Herb?
He's supposed to be.
Yeah. Herb Fletcher, are you on from Florida? Well, you're on, Jacob. Why don't you, first of all, tell everybody who you are, where you are, how we you contacted us, and tell of your experience when you guys went on vacation there.
Well, I'm from Wisconsin, and I first contacted Tom when I found his website, and I got really interested with it, and we've just been talking ever since, and probably my first big encounter that happened while we were in the Northwoods is probably just this past summer, was when we were mopeding down into a trail that we nicknamed Spookyville,
mm-hmm.
and we had came to this T-stop, and when I got there, I saw this object right in the middle. It was about probably like 5.5 feet tall and like a light oak color, and then it started to move. And then by that time, we had already taken off down the trail, and by the time I got back, it was gone. And then when we got back to camp, it was dark by then, and then we had rocks that were being thrown from the trees, and we had no idea where they were coming from. And we were all at camp, and they were just falling one by one, and we had no idea. And so we left that night, and we got a call from my uncle the next morning saying that my cousin had seen something in the window around 2 o'clock in the morning and got scared.
Can you hear me, Tom?
Yeah, is that you, Herb?
Okay, yeah, I just pushed a 6 here, so I got on, yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Jacob's talking now. Listen, go ahead.
Okay, and I got in a call from Herb, and they said that morning they found some tracks out by their camper, and they had photographed them, and so that's really what happened.
Did you get to see the photographs?
Yes, he sent them to me.
You still have them?
Yeah.
I would love for you to take pictures if you could and email them over. I'd love to take a look. What'd they measure out to, do you know?
Well, I'll tell you, I took them, Tom, and I think they measure out to about, probably 5 foot wide by...
Oh, that's the stride, right?
That's the whole flat foot.
Mm-hmm.
The stride, right. The stride is probably, I bet you, probably 10 inches, I'd say. I'd have to look at the thing again. The 10 inches, I'd say, and the width probably is 4 to 5 inches. You know, at the top, at the...
No. I don't want you to get confused now, Irv. Okay. The stride and the inches of the foot are two different things. So in other words, let's just concentrate on the foot. How long do you think it would have been?
The foot totally, I'd go 10 inches, I'd say.
Well, that could have been a human.
No.
You know? Because, you know, the average shoe size today is 9.5.
Yeah.
All right? So,
But the toes, I would say, were, I bet you, 6 inches apart from the little toe to the large one.
Uh-huh. Okay, and what about the heel across?
Well, the heel, we actually, it was so light that we couldn't see the heel.
Mm-hmm. Now, Irv, did you actually see the creature as well as Jacob?
Yes, I saw the creature. I'll tell you, I've seen the creature at a different time, And we know he stays in that area. I've been up there for, it's going on 9 years now. And we feel that Bigfoot stays in that area.
Is this up at Holy Hill?
No, this is north of Holy Hill that we're in.
Oh, okay.
We're 20 miles from the Michigan border, the Upper Peninsula Michigan border.
Gotcha, I know it well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would say that the creature that we seen, it was about 50, 75, probably 100 feet away from us, and I had a whole pickup truck full of kids in the back, and when we looked up this little road, we all saw Bigfoot. We stopped, put the brakes on, looked, and I would say he was a good 7 foot tall, sloping head, long arms like a gorilla, and I would say the height of the hair looked like probably a grizzly bear, you know, that color.
But
it was long and coarse.
Long and limp, huh?
Yep, long and limp.
Incredible.
And when
incredible.
He seen us, he kind of ducked behind some shrubbery, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, you know that it's called that, those of you who get a glimpse at this thing, you're the chosen few, because there's not many people get to see this thing. But I'll tell you what, Herb, it's because of the work that we're doing and other Bigfoot groups out there like us is bringing this thing to the front. People aren't afraid now to talk about it, because before, you know, it had that stigma about it. You talk about Bigfoot that you had an encounter, well, you're nuts, you're crazy, and you know, you don't want to say it to your friends, relatives, and neighbors, because you don't want them to, you know, to criticize you.
Right.
But you know what? I think we're hitting mainstream America, Jacob. I really believe it. And it's
praise
the people
Lord.
Like you. Yes, praise the Lord is right. It's people like you guys sharing your encounters and your stories with the rest of us out there. God bless you. Jacob,
uh-huh.
I'm going to put you in contact with Austin and Tyler. Austin and Tyler, you guys on?
Yeah, we're right here.
Okay.
Yep.
This is another young man, Jacob Misgalski. You guys, trade websites if you can, and then email each other.
Okay.
You can research together. You can learn from each other. Tell your stories.
All right. Well, our email is Sasquatch_Bigfoot_research@yahoo.com.
Okay. Could you say that one more time?
It's Sasquatch_Bigfoot_research@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And then our one of our websites, we're getting another one up right now, but one of our ones that we're doing right now is myspace.com/SasquatchBigfoot.
By the way, I want to thank you, and it's an honor to be a member of your organization, Austin and Tyler. And I got that wonderful T-shirt that you guys sent me today with that wonderful letter. And thank you so much. And let's make 2007, fellas, a banner year for the Bigfoot world.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay. All right, you guys.
Thank you.
I want to thank all my guests, Pat Holbrook, John Jones, Dr. Dan Sherman, David Holly, Daniel Perez, Irv Fletcher, and Jacob Waltz, and Austin and Tyler down there in Greencastle, Indiana. To all of my Bigfooters all over the world and my team, God bless. Let's make 2007 the best. Here's going at you.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the fact. We'll be right back.
join us on the expedition of a lifetime as we search for Bigfoot in Paris, Texas, March 30th, 2007.
Search for Bigfoot.
I'm here tonight to tell you and the world that myself and my company, Searching for Bigfoot, has definite proof that Bigfoot lives.
2007, Search for Bigfoot, Tom Biscardi and his team, as seen in the hit film, Bigfoot Lives.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now.
That's Paris, Texas, March 30th, 31st, and 32nd. Bigfoot has met his match with the technology of Dr. Ron Milioni, with special guests, Ghost Hunter, Brian Hanwar. Reserve your tickets now. SearchingBigfoot at Yahoo.com. That's SearchingBigfoot at Yahoo.com. 2007, Search for Bigfoot with the legend Tom Biscardi.
Searching for Bigfoot.com.